Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
You see, when you fail to learn the lesson or even want to learn the lesson, the Lord has you in a storm for you. You don't want an answer. And there are so many people like that. They're in some storm in their life and you offer them an answer and you realize, I'm not listening. I don't want an answer. I just want to tell you how terrible the wind is. I just want to let you know how terrible the circumstances are. Don't give me an answer. The problem with that is if you don't get an answer in a storm like that, there's at least the possibility, if not the probability, there may be another storm in store for you.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
We're coming to the end of another hurricane season. You can almost hear the joint sigh of relief. Well, at least till next summer. You see, given the choice, I think most of us would prefer to completely avoid hurricanes. Or any storms, for that matter. But hurricanes, when you live in New Orleans, or storms when you live anywhere else, are inevitable. Storms are sometimes frightening. And they are the perfect physical representation of profound spiritual truth. Maybe that's why they show up so often in the Word of God. This morning, what I'd like to do is survey some of the great storms of Scripture and attach at least one spiritual application to each storm. Let's begin by opening our Bibles to Acts chapter 27, verse 18. The book of Acts, chapter 27. And actually, we'll start with verse 13. This is a storm that comes up when Paul is going from Jerusalem under arrest to Rome. And they finally get him on a ship. They run into a storm. And it turns out to be quite a doozy. One thing I want you to see about this storm, though. Verse 13. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. Sometimes the storms of our life come up like this. Just a moderate south wind. It's just something. Something happens and there's no big storm yet. But something doesn't seem quite right. The doctor says, I really don't like the results of this test, but it may be nothing. Your spouse doesn't have the same relationship with you that they had before. They seem to have some other agenda. Well, in this case, by the way, the storm becomes pretty fierce. Verse 18, the next day, as we were becomingly violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. That's always what happens, by the way, especially in that part of the world. You've got to get the weight out of the boat. And so they started to jettison the cargo. But notice, it had become violent. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. They're just trying to survive now. What's interesting about this is it's a special kind of storm. It's the kind that I don't wish on any of you, but unfortunately, some of you had to experience. This is when a storm lasts long enough that it's easy to slowly but surely lose your hope. Notice what the next verse says. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. All hope of being saved. It's an amazing storm. No sun, no stars, no moon, just storm. Not 3 hours. But what we see here is 3 days. In fact, verse 27 says, but when the 14th night came, 14 days of a storm. Could you imagine that? A storm. You're on a small boat in the Mediterranean, actually the Adriatic, and you're in a storm for 14 days. You see, when a storm lasts long enough, it's easy to slowly but surely lose all hope. That's exactly what Luke wrote in verse 20. This kind of storm often occurs when we have chronic health problems. This is the kind of storm that I would associate to the C word, the battle of the storm of cancer. You see, it doesn't just last for a day or two. It's not simply a surgery. It's a process. The battle lingers for some months, for some years, but it's a storm. And in the middle of that kind of storm, it apparently is very easy to lose all hope. And it happens to us all the time. Now, what's interesting about this storm is they had a solution. The Apostle Paul was on board, and he had told them right in the beginning there was going to be a storm, and they would lose all their cargo, but none of them would lose their life. But they didn't believe him in the beginning, and they kept the cargo, and eventually they got rid of the cargo. And eventually, what you find is, they finally turn and believe Paul. Notice verse 24. Paul says, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted, he says, you all those who are sailing with you. He said, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe that God, he says, that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. I know the truth there. Turns out, by the way, it's a lot of people. If you look at verse 37, all of us in the ship were 276 persons. That's a lot of people in a ship at that time. But notice, Paul has been telling them it was going to be okay in this long storm, but they didn't believe it and they were afraid. When a storm lasts long enough, it's easy to slowly but surely lose hope. And there's a test in every one of these storms, and the test in this storm is simple. The strength of your commitment to the truth. If you're going through a long, chronic storm, it's the strength of your commitment to the truth. Paul was speaking the truth there. The Word of God speaks the truth to us. If you're in a long-term storm, it's hard not to be afraid. It's hard not to lose hope. But the truth of the matter is, we shouldn't. Over the years, I have said over and over again, and will say again now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the worst thing that could possibly happen to you cannot happen to you. The reason I tell you that is for storms, especially long, chronic storms. You see, I need to hold on to that. If I'm in the middle of that kind of storm, that's what I need. I need this idea of this surety. I need to have the strength of my commitment to the truth. And it's not only that it will turn out well, but there are other truths about storms. Our Lord and Savior said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, that's important if you're in one of these kind of storms. And so there are the storms that last for a very long time. They have a tendency to suck the hope right out of us. Turn with me now as we go left, back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And a very famous storm. And this one is going to be the Sea of Galilee. Small lake, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, surrounded pretty much by mountains. And so what you have is air coming over the mountains, getting down on the lake, creates enormous amount of wind and very quick storms. And so in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, we run into this storm. It says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it you have no faith?" You see, they had two problems. They had a sinking ship and a sleeping Savior. And those are two problems. And they misinterpret, as we often do, when our ship appears to be sinking. This is when a storm is intense enough that we question the goodness of God. That happens to us sometimes. A sudden storm comes into our life. It's so intense that we question the goodness of God. Now, we don't say that way. We basically say, "Where are you? How could you let this happen to me? Why? Why? Why?" All those questions are simply another way of saying, "I don't really think you're that good. At least not to me." This kind of storm often happens when we face sudden, intense loss and pain. Death of a loved one, especially the sudden death of a child. "Where are you, God? Don't you care?" Sometimes when a spouse suddenly leaves, they head off for work that morning, they don't come back that night. You didn't read the tea leaves and you had no idea, you thought how it was going to happen, but all of a sudden you find out that there's a phone call and they're not coming back. Or sometimes when we're violated in certain ways, mugged, raped, robbed, those kind of things. "God, don't you care? Look what just terrible things happened to me. Look what happened to me." You see, this test is the nature of my faith. And it's not my interpretation, it's the Lord's. See, what is the nature of my faith? Do I truly believe in Him? It's an interesting thing, because He's asleep on the cushion. He has told them in verse 35, "We're going over to the other side." They're going to the other side. The storm comes up, and instead of asking even just for help, their question is, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Why are you afraid?" He said. That's a question He asks every one of us who are believers in the middle of a storm. That's a question Jesus Christ is asking you. Why are you afraid? Why? I'm asleep right here in the stern. Why are you afraid? And notice He tells us why. How is it that you have no faith? You see, how is it that you have no faith? This is the test of the nature of my faith. The first one was a test of the strength of my commitment to the truth. Long storms have a way of slowly but surely sort of sucking the hope out of us. But when a storm is intense enough to make us question sometimes the very goodness of God. The third storm, Matthew chapter 14, another famous storm. Matthew chapter 14. And this one's quite a setup. We can see it because of the first verse we'll look at, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus, He, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side. That's pretty interesting. This is definitely a setup. By the way, that tells me something. Sometimes the storms in my life are just that way. You get in the boat. You guys get up. Go ahead. Get going. He doesn't get in with them this time. He said He had sent the crowds away. And He sent the crowds away. After He had done that, He went up to the mountain Himself, by Himself, to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, and the wind was contrary. They're in the middle of a storm again. It's the fourth watch of the night. So now we know they've been at this for quite some time. This is the final watch before daybreak. They're in the fourth watch of the night, and notice, He came to them walking on the sea. You would think at that moment that even in the middle of a storm, you would break out in the hallelujah chorus. I mean, you think that. But no. That's not exactly what happened at all. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Notice fear is in every one of these. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to Him, love Peter, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you." He said, "On the water." That looks so cool. You know, someone's walking on water. If you can do it, I can do it. Now, you would have thought Jesus would have said, "Peter, God incarnate." You know, but He doesn't. Christ doesn't say that to Peter at all. He says to him, "Come." You know, and the other disciples, are you crazy? You know, and Peter climbs right off, jumps right off the boat. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. And then here's what happens to us in storms so many times. Seeing the wind. By the way, you can't see the wind. You can see the results of the wind, but you don't see the wind. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and he took hold of him and he said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. This is when the Lord sends a storm into your life and we fail to learn the lessons that he has for us. He put them in that storm to teach them something. That's why he came walking to them. He was teaching them his capability. He was teaching them, in a sense, who he was and what he's capable of doing. He sent them into a storm so that he could teach them something. This is often the case, by the way, when a sudden change comes into our lives and we become preoccupied with the wind, the circumstances of the change, that kind of storm. And boy, so many, this is common. I see so many of you that go through these kind of storms. It comes in all of a sudden. And from your point of view, all you can do is become fixated on the wind and the circumstances, but not the Lord. And I know that, by the way, because see, what he's trying to do here is he's trying to teach them a lesson. And so sometimes when you come to me and you tell me about this terrible storm you're in, what I do, and I've often talked to the other pastors about the same idea, but what I do is I say, boy, that's just terrible. Now, here's some things I think you could do. 1, 2, 3. And here's the response I get. Do you see the wind? Do you see the circumstances? Don't you realize how terrible this is? They didn't want an answer. You see, when you fail to learn a lesson or even want to learn the lesson the Lord has you in a storm for, you don't want an answer. And there are so many people like that. They're in some storm in their life and you offer them an answer and you realize, I'm not listening. I don't want an answer. I just want to tell you how terrible the wind is. I just want to let you know how terrible the circumstances are. Don't give me an answer. The problem with that is if you don't get an answer in a storm like that, there's at least the possibility, if not the probability, there may be another storm in store for you. The next one and the next one. And some of you are chronic storm goers. You're in storms all the time. Your whole life is a chronic long list of storms. And you wonder, it's because I never want to learn anything. I just want to tell you how terrible the wind is instead of how great the Lord is. I've seen this with people. I see a young person, they're dating somebody, very questionable whether they should have been dating them in the first place. And the person breaks up with them or is unfaithful to them. And they're devastated. It's the worst thing possible. Until you see them 2 or 3 years later, and the right person's in their life. And the Lord protected them from that person. And there's a good thing going on in their life. There's a lesson to learn. You see, the test here is the measure of my teachability. When I'm in a storm, I have to measure my teachability. Lord, is there something here you'd like to teach me? You see, really, you want to teach me something. And he always does. He wants to teach us something about himself. And he wants to teach us something about ourselves. Well, one more storm. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And this is a storm of a completely different nature. Jonah chapter 1. Right after Obadiah, so there should be no problem. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah. In verse 2, here's what God says to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here is Jonah, finds himself in Judah. God calls him, says, okay, Jonah, you're a prophet. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go east and north. And I want you to go to the Assyrian capital of Nineveh. Clear instructions by the Lord. But Jonah rose and went as far east as he could possibly go. I mean, far west as he could possibly go. God says, go east. Jonah says, that's it. I'm getting up. I'm going west. He says, how far can you go west? They said, well, the end of the world's like Tarshish, right there in Spain, the Gibraltar. That's the end of the world. Well, let's go there then. I want to go as far the opposite direction of where the Lord wants me as possible. And so Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so he went down to Joppa, found the ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw their cargo, same thing, which was on the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below in the hold of the ship, lay down and fallen sound asleep. Isn't that interesting how it repeats? In one you have the Savior sleeping. In this one you have the sinner sleeping. You see, Jonah doesn't care. I don't care what the storm is. I just know I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going the opposite direction. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you're sleeping?" He says, "Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." And so they cast lots. And by the way, I don't think this is a coincidence. The lots fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation?" Prophet? I happen to be a prophet. "And where do you come from? What is your country?" I'm from Israel. "Who are your people?" "I'm Jewish." He said to them, "Look, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land," but not enough to obey him. And then the men became extremely frightened, and they said, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. And so they said to him, "What should we do that the sea may become calm to us? For the sea is becoming increasingly stormy." He said to them, "Look, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come to you." This is a completely different kind of storm. This is when the Lord sends a storm into your life to bring you back to him. This is when the Lord sends a storm in your life to bring you back to him. This often is the case when we realize that we have been willfully disobedient to the Lord completely. Just go in a completely different direction in our life. And a lot of you have gone through this kind of storm. I think it's relatively rare, and it's not easily interpreted. By the way, it was easy for Jonah to interpret it was that kind of storm, wasn't it? Because God told him directly, "Go east." And he said, "No, I'm going west." So he knew what disobedient he was. For us, it's a little harder sometimes. The test here is this. The test is the healthiness of my attitude toward the Lord. You see, so many times in our life, we just decide, "Look, I know the right way to go. I'm not going. I know the right thing to do, and I'm not doing it. I'm just going to go my own way." I'm just telling you something. If you're a child of God, the writer of Hebrews says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You may not take him seriously, but he takes you very seriously. And you might find yourself in a storm that he prepared just to bring you back to him. There's always a deep personal conviction like Jonah had here. "I know it's me." That's important for you to understand. This kind of storm is not pronounced by others. Now, don't forget this. This kind of storm is not pronounced by others. I know you're well-meaning, but so many times Christian parents, friends, spouses, "You want to know why that storm's in your life? You want to know why you're going through what you're doing? I'm telling you why. Because you're messing around and you're doing what you shouldn't be doing." By the way, that's exactly the advice Job's friends gave him. And they were all wrong. So be very careful by telling someone else that's why the storm's in their life. But if you're in a storm, you got to ask yourself the question, is this a storm he's put in my life to draw me back to him?
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gephardt, I'm Jason Gephardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.